Good morning and welcome to church this Pentecost Sunday. Whether you're someone that likes to dress up for church still, or you're like us and you're chilling your PJs, it's great to be together and worship, even if it is online. I'm Ben.
I'm Emily.
And welcome. We're going to be leading the service this morning.
Let's pray.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So we come to our time of confession knowing these two things, that yes, we must confess our wrongdoing, but we also trust in God's wonderful kindness and love towards us. Let's say our confession together. Lord God, we have sinned against you, we have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God's Spirit draw near to each one of us this morning. And as we seek to follow him, may we all sense the Holy Spirit remaking, renewing, and reviving us.
Today's Open the Book story focuses on the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's explore that together.
The amazing events of today's story happened 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. So let's open the book and read the story, The Helper Arrives. Jesus told his friends to wait in Jerusalem, to wait for the Helper he'd promised to send them. So they waited. They waited and they prayed. And while they waited, the streets of Jerusalem filled up with people from every land. People from the north and from the south, people from the east and from the west, people from all over the world who came together to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Jesus' friends were in an upstairs room when suddenly some surprising things began to happen. They heard a wind blow, harder than the fiercest storm, but nothing was blown about. They heard the flickering of flames, and they watched tongues of fire lick and lap and land on their heads, but nobody smelled any smoke. And then the Helper came, the Holy Spirit, and he filled them all with the presence and power of God. And then what they heard next was talking, strange words pouring out of each and every mouth. So they rushed outside, eager to tell the crowd what had happened.
Says that again.
Can you tell me again?
Amazing.
It is amazing.
And now suddenly everyone could understand. People from the north and the south, people from the east and from the west, people from all around the world. For now, Jesus' friends were able to speak in foreign languages, languages they'd never learned, all because of God's Holy Spirit. What better way to tell the world about Jesus? But there were others who thought Jesus' friends were just talking nonsense.
These people look drunk. It's nothing but a load of gibberish.
And that's when Peter stood up. Peter, who'd been with Jesus from the start. Yes, Peter the fisherman. Peter, who'd never made a speech in his life.
Listen, everyone. We're not filled with wine. We're filled with something else. God's own Holy Spirit. Many years ago, God, through a prophet, said that this would happen. That he would send his Spirit not just on special people, like prophets and kings, but to everyone. And that has happened to us today. It has happened because Jesus, who died on the cross, was brought back to life by God himself, and now sits beside God in heaven. It was Jesus who gave this wonderful gift to us. Jesus, the special one. Jesus, the one we have been waiting for all these years. Jesus, who is put to death by you.
The people were sorry for what they'd done to Jesus.
What are we going to do?
Well, what shall we do?
Tell God you're sorry. Let him wash away all the bad things you have done, and you will receive his Spirit too.
So, that's what people did. 3,000 of them. They told God they were sorry. They were baptized. And they were filled with God's Holy Spirit. People from the north and from the south. People from the east and the west. People from all over the world.
So you can find a Connect card linked below the video on the church website. We would love to invite you to fill that out if you're new to church or experiencing it for the first time. Let us know who you are, where you are, and if you'd like to know more about how to get involved in church long term, especially when we come out of lockdown, then we will be in touch. Otherwise, there is now a form below that video on the church website where you can just fill in your name and let us know if you're tuning in and watching. We would love to get a feel of who is joining us for church on a Sunday, so please do just take a couple of minutes to fill out that form below the video on the church website.
Next up, we have got our Bible reading.
Good morning. The reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 26, to chapter 16, verse 15. The work of the Holy Spirit. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What does this Bible passage tell us about God, and specifically the Holy Spirit?
You ever been thirsty?
I mean really thirsty. That kind of desperate thirst where your mouth is dry, your lips are cracked, and you think, oh, why didn't I bring a water bottle? That kind of desperate thirst where we'll do anything we can to try and get something to drink. You know, imagine these sailors on these ancient ships resorted to drinking their own urine. I mean, it's a horrible image. Imagine being so desperate for water, you'd drink your own. I guess most of us have never experienced anything quite that bad. Not travelled for a day to get water for our household. But we do know what it's like to be thirsty in some way. And many of us will know what it's like to be thirsty for other things too. So desperate for money to pay the bills. Worried about the next mortgage payment, thinking if only I had enough. Just so desperate. And in need, longing. If only I could win the lottery. I would just eat, just suddenly to open the funds. Oh, and if the funding came, oh, all my problems would cease, it would all be over. Oh, it's so... We know it's like to be thirsty in relationship, don't we? Thirsty for someone to notice us, to pay us some heed, maybe looking for that one. But the problem is, you see, we look to those other things. We look to the career, or we look to the relationship, or we look to the bank balance, or the to try and get the significance and the meaning, the security that we long for. And yet, Jesus says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. And do you see the kind of people who gather around Jesus? Do you see that? They were hungry. Some of them physically, many of them looking for meaning. Some of them were wealthy, like Zacchaeus, but he climbs a tree to try and get a look at Jesus. Despite all his wealth, he knows there's something that he needs, something that he lacks. There's a longing, a thirst there. And we feel that, don't we? In the Old Testament, God says to his people, you've turned from water and you've got cisterns that are cracked and dry. Why do you look where the places that just can't fulfill your needs? Jesus says, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. And we spend so much of our time and effort trying to fill that void, trying to quench that thirst. And it's true, isn't it? There's no point denying it, that many of the things that we chase, many of the things that we seek, well, they do. They give us satisfaction. Doesn't money give us security? Doesn't it give us, doesn't relationship, when you find that special someone and you pledge your love to them, or when you and you find yourself in the embrace of a loving family or that time with good friends, it works, doesn't it? It makes us, it fills something of that void, something of that gap inside us. And yet there's a limit. There's a limit to what we can generate, to how much we can fill that hole. In fact, we can just keep trying to fill it, keep trying to plug that leak. I was on a cycle ride this week for my daughter's birthday, and we're about two-thirds of the way round. And she asked me, she said she's finished her drink, and she has some of my water. And I looked down at my water bottle, and I remember thinking, well, it is your birthday. You know, I drank quite a lot of it myself. I was aware there was quite a long way. It was a hot day. I thought, I was really aware of how limited my reserves were. And I, well, you know, she was my daughter, she's 9, and so I handed over. But even me, even just a couple of miles from home, slightly reluctant to share what I had. Just that little qualm. Because we're so aware of, well, what limited resources we have. And yet that's not what Jesus says. He offers to provide all that we need. Anyone who's thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures has said, rivers of living water will flow from the within them. Jesus promises, in fact, a fountain of water. He promises that there's a limitless flow. Come to me and drink. And in fact, there's so much water, I'll make you a fountain that'll overflow to others. He says, there's so much here, there's so much here. And what does he mean? Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
It is, we had told for us so wonderfully earlier in our service. Pentecost was a single historical event. It was a moment where the Spirit was sent upon the church. And yes, subsequently the Spirit came upon lots of people as they've come to believe in Jesus. But that was the time the Spirit was sent. Jesus, he gathers his people together, Acts chapter 1. He gathers them all together and he says, stay here, wait until the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so it was at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on the church and has been with the church ever since. That everybody who believes has access to this powerful Holy Spirit. And as we turn now to John chapter 16, I want to show you a few things about what the Holy Spirit means for each one of us who believe today. In John 16, we find ourselves back at the Last Supper. Of course, the disciples didn't know it was the Last Supper. They thought it was the Passover meal, the time that they celebrated God setting his people free with a sacrifice, bringing a rescue through the death of a sacrificial lamb. They thought that was what they were celebrating, but Jesus knew it was the Last Supper. And as he does, there's this long conversation in John's Gospel where Jesus prepares them for what it's going to be like without him. See, he knows what's going to happen as he's arrested and as they fall away, as he dies and they despair. He knows he's going to rise. And even as he rises, some see and believe, others are still doubting. And so he promises something even further ahead. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you've been with me from the beginning. He says, when I go, so I'm going to send somebody else to be with you, another advocate, another person to come alongside you. And this person is going to come and be with you, and they're going to help you speak for me. Well, the problem is that at the beginning of Acts is we find a church timid. Jesus is taken up into heaven. They look around at each other, confused. They go back. They kind of do a bit of admin, get another disciple on the team. And they're kind of waiting. And Acts chapter 2 finds them gathered in one place, but timid, afraid, certainly not testifying, certainly not going out there boldly proclaiming all that Jesus has done and the salvation that is available to all. What's the problem? Well, the problem is a lack of power. The problem is humor and weakness of all the opposing forces and a human timidity in the face of opposition. You see, they might all be there at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, but they're not speaking. They're all together in one place, and they hear a wind. A wind comes. You kind of imagine, you're indoors and you hear a gale, and you're thinking, what's going on? You see, what do weak human beings need? If we're going to go out there and boldly proclaim, if, as Jesus says at the beginning of Acts, we're going to be his witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, we need power. We need God at work in us and for us. We need him to come to us in power. And so God's Holy Spirit comes in power. And it comes in power that is soakily experienced and evidenced that everybody around knew something was going on, even if they didn't know exactly what. It didn't lead everybody to believe and fall on their knees, but it was such a powerful work of God at that time and ever since that this church is the church of the Holy Spirit. But there's power not just for external tasks, but for internal transformation. And the most obvious one in our chapter is the guiding into all truth. That coming to know and believe theological truths, like we're doing in this series now, is not merely an intellectual process, but a spiritual process. That God is at work showing us, convincing us, leading us into all truth, so that we know the truth of what he says in his word. It's the Holy Spirit that caused this book to be written down and gathered together and provided for us. The Holy Spirit is at work leading his church into all truth. But it's also at work, not just in the church, but in each individual, bring about gospel fruit. I'm standing here next to my apple tree, Cox's Orange Pippin. And on here you can see, there's a month or two back, there were some lovely flowers. Now, there are these tiny little fruit. Can you see? They're so small, and yet I know that they're growing into apples. They're a great apple. When they're ripe, you shake them and they rattle. And they taste really lovely and fresh. And yet the tree was pretty bare not very long ago. And then it had some leaves and some lovely flowers. Now, finally, it's got some fruit. And I can begin to see that coming through. See, the Holy Spirit brings about fruit in our lives. See, not every one of us will have the same spiritual gift. Some will have the gift of encouragement or administration or preaching. There are all sorts of different gifts of the Holy Spirit. But each one of us is called to seek those gifts, but also to grow in fruit. By the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You see, God wants to bring about fruit in our lives. He wants us to become more generous, more caring, more patient, more persevering, kinder, better. And God will do that by His Holy Spirit. You got a bad temper? Pray earnestly to the Holy Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. You're a miser and you love your pennies and you're aware that this is greed and selfishness. It's not generosity and kindness. It's not even just good sense. Well, pray that the Holy Spirit will work in you to change your heart, to transform you, that you might be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to make us more like Jesus. Finally, I think it's worth a reflection on what it means to be filled with the Spirit, to experience the filling of God's Holy Spirit. Now, that's what Paul says at the end of Ephesians. He says, don't get drunk on wine, instead be filled with the Spirit. He says you've got a choice of influences. You can go to booze or whatever else, or you can go to God. Who will influence you? And the first thing I want to say is that if you are a Christian, then that is evidence already of the work of God's Holy Spirit in you. And not everybody who has the Holy Spirit has had some great and astonishing physical manifestation. We might look at Pentecost, even with jealousy. I wish it was that obvious. We might look at some Christian gatherings and it might look quite a bit like Pentecost. Some sort of obvious physical manifestation of the coming of the Holy Spirit. It can be different for different people. Although I do think we can see in the book of Acts that knowing the Spirit with us makes all the difference. And it's not subtle. In fact, what I've sometimes seen is somebody get what I call a quick win. In their life, the evidence of the Holy Spirit in their life is actually that they very quickly are able to make a moral or practical change in their lives. There's one testimony in Alpha where somebody, it was smoking. And smoking is exactly a sin, but they just realised that as soon as they'd given their life to Jesus, they didn't need nicotine anymore. As somebody else from our church a few years ago told me how when they were saved, they just never needed to take a drink. They'd been an alcoholic and they weren't. Some people get those kind of experiences. Others of us live on a kind of spiritual high where God seems so close. Many of us are filled, and I've seen this so often with new Christians, filled with a boldness to speak of God, fearlessly. To people that normally they'd be terrified. In fact, their Christian friends look at them and say, wow, you're just what, such an evangelist. Other people have had particular emotional experiences or particular spiritual gifts given to them. But what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? And there's one illustration that I find really helpful. So imagine that I invite you round to my house. Perhaps you're a wedding couple. And I invite you round and you come in to the entranceway and maybe you hang up your coat. You then come through, sit on an armchair in the study and we chat about your wedding. Maybe you need the loo while you're there and you use the downstairs loo. But at the end of our time together, you leave. And it's been friendly, but you've only been allowed right into the entranceway, just into the first room or two. Or perhaps you've come along to something else, maybe a bit bigger. Maybe I've invited you round for a meal and you come round and we sit and we eat in the kitchen. And then we go and sit in the lounge. You're welcomed a lot more in. You're friends. But if your house is anything like mine, you'll know what it's like. People are coming round and all the mess gets gathered up and put somewhere else. Maybe it's the spare room. Maybe it's just upstairs. Maybe there's a cupboard and that's where all the stuff gets put. I grew up and we always had a mess drawer. That was where all the junk was put away. Well, I think sometimes we can be a bit like that with the Holy Spirit. We might invite him into the entranceway and say, come on in. Come on in, Lord. I want you to come into my home. But we want to keep him in the sort of polite religious section. Or maybe for others of us, we've said, yes, Lord, I really want God to be and Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And so come on in. Here's the living room. And here's the kitchen. Here's the downstairs broom closet. But there's still mess that we're hiding away. You see, for each one of us, and for many of us it might be different, but there's very likely areas of our lives where we'd rather like God not to look. We're very happy for God to be in charge of this bit, but maybe it's the bank account. Lord, you can have control of my life, but I need that. Or it's the relationship that is just so precious to us. And we know that actually giving it over to God will mean changes. And we say, God, you can have this much say over my life, but you're not having that. Or maybe it's the career. Maybe the career is exactly what we're after, and it just gives us such a feeling of satisfaction and purpose. And yet we wonder what it would mean to hand that over to Jesus. Would he take it away? And so we say, Lord, you can be judge of Sundays and my home time, but when I'm at work, Lord, just for the next few years, I just need to focus on my career. And Paul writes, be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much that you have given your Holy Spirit, that as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are active in this world, and that you have given your Holy Spirit to the church to lead us into truth, and to give us miraculous abilities, and to speak with boldness, to persevere against opposition, to point people to Jesus Christ. Help us today and every day, that we might be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, for now we cannot meet physically in the same space together. We're trying to unite through mediums like this, online services on Sunday and Wednesday and our life groups and such like. But right now in our service, we join with thousands of generations that have passed before us and thousands that will come in the future. And we join declaring our faith. Let's say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today, as we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to the Apostles and the birthday of the Church, we bring before God the Church at its present time, our local community, our friends and family, and those who are suffering in all sorts of ways. At the end of each section of prayer, there will be a short silence when you can share your own concerns with God, and then I will say the words of a familiar hymn. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove, and will you join with the words, teach us the truth and help us believe. Show us the Saviour's love. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit into our beneficed church family. Give us the courage to go on proclaiming the good news of Jesus to a troubled and fearful world. Give us wisdom and give wisdom and discretion to all church leaders as they look for ways to safely reopen our buildings for prayer and celebration, and continue to inspire those who weekly plan and conduct our worship online. As you take hold of the thumb on your hand of flame, please offer your own particular prayer for the church. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove, teach us the truth and help us believe. Show us the Saviour's love. Holy Lord Jesus, as we have walked through our local communities these past few days, so we pray for all who live and work in Lutterworth, Biddeswell and Coatsbatch. It has been noticeable how quiet our local communities have become, with shops and businesses closed, and we fear for those who are suffering financial hardship. We thank you that many other people are busy keeping us fed, our rubbish collected, our mail and other goods delivered, our surgeries and hospitals staffed, and care delivered to our elderly. We thank you for the risks they are taking, and their tireless efforts and self-sacrifice. Take hold of the first finger of your hand and pray for people in your own community. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove, teach us the truth and help us believe. Show us the Saviour's love. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be breathed into the hearts of the people close to us that we have chosen to pray for during thy kingdom come. May they know Jesus' love for them and desire a deeper relationship with him. Whether these people are our friends, our neighbours, or our own family members, we pray quietly for them now as we hold the middle finger of our hand of flame. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove, teach us the truth and help us believe. Show us the Saviour's love. We pray, Saviour, for your healing and compassion on all who are ill at this time, those who may have COVID-19, those whose long-term health is never good and brings many problems, and those whose minds are failing, those who feel depressed and anxious as the weeks go by. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove, teach us the truth and help us believe. Show us the Saviour's love. Pray for the families of those who have died recently. Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus and knows the pain of grief we feel when death divides us from our loved ones. So, Lord, we thank you for those we have loved but see no more, praying especially for families trying to come to terms with their grief, where they're unable to meet together properly as their loved ones are laid to rest. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove, teach us the truth and help us believe. Show to us the Saviour's love. Hear our prayers, Lord. Come as flames to warm our cold hearts. Come as a rushing wind to stir us into action. Come as a dove of peace to calm our anxieties. Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, ignite in us your holy fire. Strengthen your children with the gift of faith. revive your church with the breath of love and renew the face of the earth through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Let us be at peace and join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, we're drawing near to the end of our service, but before that, we just want to let you know about a couple of things. On the 14th of June, we have a welcome tea. So if you're new to church, you're joining us online, or you joined us in the physical building before lockdown, you should receive an invite to the welcome tea. And that is an opportunity for you to get to know the church team a little bit more and what goes on in the benefice week by week, day by day. So if you'd like to receive an invite to that, then please do just email the church office and we'll be in touch.
And then something quite exciting, on the 7th of June, straight after the service, we've got a virtual sort of tea and coffee type thing that we would normally have had in the church, but actually we're going to do it on Zoom. So that'd be really, really great. We invite you to hang around and come along to that so we can all have our tea and coffee over Zoom and have a chat and a catch up and just get to be church family together. So the link for that will be in the church news. And if you don't get that, then it will be on the website.
So that tea and coffee morning is next week, straight after the service at 11:30.
Now that's almost it for today. It's been lovely to worship together. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, so whatever your week holds, we pray that you know the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, going with you and working through you. Amen.
Amen.